This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Good morning. More than 1,200 dams hold up rivers, creeks, and streams around Vermont. Some, built over a century ago, are relics of another time when Vermont ran on mills, logging, and small-scale hydropower. Now, only 80 of the state's dams are actively used for hydropower or flood control, and far more are no longer serving any purpose at all. About 200 of these so-called deadbeat dams are, to critics, deteriorating and reducing habitat for fish and hampering recreational activities for humans. Now the Nature Conservancy of Vermont is developing a statewide map ranking and prioritizing which dams are causing the most harm. And here to talk with us about the problems and priority fixes is Heather Furman, the State Director for the Nature Conservancy of Vermont. Heather, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mitch.
Well, first, can you give us a sense of these 200 so-called deadbeat dams? I mean, what kinds of rivers are they generally found in, and why are they causing such problems?
So deadbeat dams are found all over Vermont. They are on large rivers and small rivers. They vary in size and scale. Some are across rivers as large as the Connecticut. Others are found on our small rivers and streams. They don't manage floodwaters, as you said. They don't produce any hydropower. And today, these dams are posing safety hazards. They are, by and large, privately owned. They cost communities money to upkeep and maintain. They're holding back waters that cause variations in flow downstream and upstream. That's problematic for fish and for other species living in our aquatic habitats.
So there's about 200 of these so-called deadbeat dams. And the big question then is, why are they still here? What are the challenges to removing them?
Well, as I said, a lot of these dams are privately owned. In some cases, people don't even know that they own the dam. They may own land that abuts the river, and there's a dam that exists there. Those dams oftentimes are just crumbling into the waterways and are posing safety hazards. So folks sometimes don't even know that they actually own the dam.
Well, I have to imagine then that if someone didn't know they owned a dam, then they find out they do. The cost of removing that dam, would that fall then to that private property owner?
It would. And sometimes there's liabilities associated with owning the dam. So the costs need to be borne fully by the landowner. Now, there are funding sources available for folks to help remove dam, both public and private. But by and large, that cost is going to be borne by the individual owning the dam. So organizations around the state, like the Nature Conservancy, are interested in helping landowners remove these dams.
I can see, though, a fight brewing here that you might go to someone who says, hey, listen, this dam is serving no purpose. It's no good. You own it. You got to remove it. It's going to be your cost. Couldn't that private property owner say, no, I don't want to?
Sure. It's their right to do that. At the same time, by removing a dam, there's a lot of positive benefits that are available to our waterways, to our communities, by removing that dam.
So this map that the Nature Conservancy of Vermont is developing, is this an effort to identify some of those dams that you hope would be taken down, and then also to act on that, to get folks moving on this?
Yeah, so our dam prioritization tool, it was developed by the Nature Conservancy in partnership with Fish and Wildlife Service. It ranks dams so that communities know where we can have the biggest positive impact on our waterways. And we use things like the length of river that can be opened up for fish spawning, the presence of rare fish such as lake sturgeon, and the conditions of river shore habitat to prioritize which dams, if removed, could have the most positive impact for our communities and for our rivers.
Now, Vermont has removed some high-profile dams in recent years. I wonder if you can give us an update on a successful project.
I can give you one. We are working with partners to remove Randolph's Sergeant Osgood Roundy Dam, or the SOR Dam, this summer. We've been going through a permitting process to have that dam removed. It's a relatively small dam. It's only 6 feet high. But once it's removed, it will open up 88 miles of fish passage in the White River. So it's a really exciting project that has a huge conservation impact.
beyond restoring habitat for species, what are the water quality impacts of these dams?
That's a great question. Well, I'll give you an example. You know, we've been hearing a lot about the Missisquoi. And for a community like, say, Swanton, it is one of the highest priority dams for removal in the state. And it's important to know that there's a lot of potential benefits for the downtown as well as for water quality. When we talk about water quality and dams, we're primarily talking about temperature, right? We know that we want to keep an even temperature in our rivers for fish and for habitat. So the water quality benefits are largely related to the temperature of the rivers. But in a community like Swanton, not only would removal support the recovery of, say, a threatened species like the sturgeon, the lake sturgeon, where historically they used to breed in the tributaries above the dam, it would also support important game fish like walleye that benefit the recreational community. And it's an incredible opportunity for Swanton to reimagine its downtown, to revitalize that downtown in a way that provides recreation and boating access to the river in a way that doesn't exist now because of the dam.
Heather Verman, I wonder if there are folks who would take a look at this list, this map of the 200 so-called deadbeat dams and say, I don't agree with this particular dam on the list. Maybe, you know, they feel that this is a good dam for whatever reason. How much research has gone into this? Are you 100% confident that the dams on the map are ones that really are serving no purpose and should be taken down?
Yeah, that's a great question. So sure, this is a tool that we use. It's a georeferenced analysis that we use based on a lot of different criteria, but it's really important for us to be able to go into communities and have these conversations with select board and planning commissions about how the dam is serving the community today and what the benefits might be for removal. This isn't a mandate to remove dams, and it's certainly not a mandate to remove all dams, but it is an opportunity to have these conversations about how the dam is serving the community today and what benefits the river is providing or what benefits the river could provide without that dam in place.
Heather Verman is State Director for the Nature Conservancy of Vermont. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
You're welcome.